Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crypto Market Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And here we are, back again, TiVo, another monumental week in the crypto markets. Of course, the ongoing joke here, the running joke is that we come in here and we say that every week. Well, we just continue to hit new all-time highs. And this week was a very special one, or rather the past week was a very special one, because Bitcoin hit a new all-time high of $99,900. We're going to dive into this. We're going to look at the charts. We're going to go over the news. And of course, this little bit of a pullback that Bitcoin has had since hitting that near $100,000 milestone. We're going to kind of explain what's happening here and why Bitcoin's pulling back. And ultimately, if it's something to be concerned about, or if this is just another buy the dip opportunity before Bitcoin continues its trend to the upside. So TiVo, good to have you here with me. It's been a pretty fun, volatile week here in the crypto markets. But how are things going over on your end?
It's good, man. Definitely felt like the last, 2 to 3 weeks has just been basically euphoric to be in the space and definitely work in the space. I felt like this was the first weekend where I really was kind of able to just pull out and take a break. And I know that my camera is a little blurry. We still haven't figured out quite everything on the live stream end today. I look clear on my end. I'm not sure why I come through blurry, but we will look to fix that in future episodes. But hopefully, if I look bad on camera, hopefully my words are a little bit better, because it's just an exciting time to be here. And happy holidays to everybody. I'd like to be the first one to actually wish everybody happy holidays. I think this is the first week you can pull out that slogan. Obviously, Thanksgiving week. We have some fun topics towards the end of the show about that. But we're going to dive into the meat and potatoes first with Brendan and the price action.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing that we can see, TiVo, is that just amazing jacket. I'm kind of jealous of it. It looks so comfy. It's coming through the camera. Might have to get a link to that afterwards.
And so actually, funny you mentioned that, because this is, for those who do remember, I used to work at Barstool. So this is one of the Barstool designs. And we always had the best merch at Barstool. And so Kevin, our boss, and I have been working on a merch line for the Crypto 101 podcast that is actually going to be dropping possibly end of this week, definitely next week. And so we're going to get links in our YouTube and in the description. So if you're interested in some fun designs, that's kind of my forte, is creating, you know, fun, unique products around the merch line. So if you're interested in some crypto merch, we'll have some links for you can support the show. But we'll revisit that when it goes live.
It's funny because it almost sounds like it's a scripted bit where I'm prompting you towards that, but I had no idea that was I had no idea that that was dropping. So I'm just as excited as hopefully everyone else is.
Yeah, no, I've been working on it kind of on the down low, and Kevin gave me the green light, so we'll see. Holiday time, a lot of excitement. Thought it was I was always been working on some designs, and then just like kind of the excitement made me kind of go finish it, and then I'll have some downtime on the back end of this week to get it up and live.
Yeah, well, I think that's awesome, and let's dive into what's happening in the crypto markets here, because You know, like I said, Bitcoin hit that new all-time high of $99,900. And for a long time, people have been looking at 100K as this big psychological resistance level for Bitcoin. And I think it's safe to say that we've essentially touched it, right? We came within $100 of it, 99.9K, and we hit that on Friday. And around the same time on Friday, we had a little bit of MicroStrategy FUD that came out that we're going to dive into later on in the episode. But between us hitting kind of that big resistance level and the MicroStrategy FUD and a couple of other things, the waters or the air is starting to get a little bit more turbulent. And it's not just for the crypto markets. And what we've really seen here is this universal resistance level, as I like to call it, where we have, you know, all the major indices, S&P, NASDAQ, consolidating, really squeezing towards that all-time high, but struggling to get a breakout. Then we look at Bitcoin and Solana, both struggling against their all-time highs, struggling to get the breakout, seeing a little bit of rejection and just some more resistance. And we're seeing this kind of just across the board globally, where things are a little bit choppy. We're struggling to break our all-time highs on a lot of the more major assets. And what that really does is it just makes the assets that are kind of underneath them a lot more volatile. And that's why we've seen over the past couple of days here to kind of kickstart this week, just a lot of volatility and Bitcoin falling from, I think it was, again, around 100K all the way down to around 91, 92K. And so when we look at the charts in just a second, we'll get to see what that looks like. But the one big takeaway that I have here is that, you know, I still believe that the dips are for buying. All of my long-term holdings, all of my like mid-term holdings, they're still there. I haven't sold them off. I'm not shorting the market here. I'm not doing any of that. In fact, I'm looking at where I can be buying the dip from this pullback and how I can position myself in a long to eventually break $100,000. Because I really do believe that it's a matter of time before we break 100K. I don't think that we've gone on this entire market cycle and this run just to get to 100K and see this massive rejection, only for us to retest it 4 years later. I think that that's a little bit silly. I think that the markets are propping themselves up to break 100K in the least. And I'm not saying we're going to be at $1 million by the end of the cycle or anything like that. But I do think a, you know, kind of a Bitcoin just above $100,000 is something that I view as probable. And I don't think that it has to be one of these 6 to 8 month consolidation phases again before we go back and retest that. So time will ultimately tell. I think some of the other big takeaways from just where we're at before we get into the charts and stuff is that Bitcoin dominance has been dropping. We've seen Bitcoin dominance really pulling back from where it was at around 61% to 62%. Historically speaking, we always see Bitcoin dominance front run the markets, climb to anywhere from 60% to 70% before it tops out. And then it typically tanks back down to around 40%. And it's in that drop from 60% to 70% to 40% where we see altcoins really, really run. And that's where we get that true euphoric altcoin season that a lot of people are familiar with. And so right now, we haven't seen any kind of a crazy move. We saw about a 3 to 4% pullback in Bitcoin dominance, and that enabled cryptos across the board to really run. I mean, Solana hit its all-time high. We had XLM and HBAR and Cardano and XRP and all these other cryptos just absolutely skyrocketed in price. Memes have been going crazy. And the one crypto that is still, I guess, under questioning is Ethereum. Ethereum has been a big talking point. You know, why isn't Ethereum running? Why is Bitcoin and Solana able to hit all-time highs, but Ethereum is not? Why is it lagging behind, right? There's all these questions around the topic of Ethereum. And we want to make sure that we talk about it. And we actually have a really cool graphic and kind of article that we want to share with everyone. So quick reminder, if you're watching us on, you know, anywhere other than YouTube, if you want to see all the graphics, you got to go check out our YouTube channel. It's the Crypto 101 podcast on YouTube. We have all sorts of podcasts, tutorials, market updates, sometimes even stuff about like NFTs and meme coins and wallets and just a lot of content that you don't want to miss. So if you're watching this back on Spotify or on, you know, Apple Podcasts or Audible or anything like that, check out our YouTube channel. It's the Crypto 101 podcast on YouTube. And that's where you're going to see a lot of the graphics that we are going to be referencing on the screen here. So if I throw up the chart and we take a look at what Bitcoin has been doing here, this is that 100K resistance level that I was talking about. And we came up, we hit this thing on Friday, and here you can see that rejection point from 99.9K. And you know, we kind of slowly bled off over the weekend. And then yesterday is where we had the big move down from around 98, 99K all the way down to around 92K down here. Now, as of today's candle, we went all the way down to 91,500, but we're starting to see a little bit of support, which makes sense because this is where Bitcoin is going to be coming back to its previous consolidation zone. It's going to be getting around this 20-day moving average, and it makes sense that we see a little bit of support here. Now, it wouldn't be impossible for Bitcoin to fall further. We've done a lot of studies in the past and in previous episodes where we show how it's possible to have more than a dozen double-digit pullbacks inside of a given parabolic market cycle. So that means that Bitcoin can pull back 10, 20, 30% more than a dozen times in a true euphoric bull market. And you know, if we get a maximum pullback of maybe 30%, that could bring us back to our previous all-time high around 70K. And if we see maybe a lower pullback of maybe 10, 20%, well, that could bring us back to maybe our consolidation zone of where we're at right now, maybe even a little bit lower to something like the 50-day moving average. But the big kind of takeaway that I have here is that there's a lot of support with where we're at. And if we look at Bitcoin dominance, again, this thing has started to see a little bit of a retracement. This is the first time that we've seen a candle body like truly close in a strong manner below the 50-day moving average. For the first time since around June or July of this summer. And I'm going to zoom us out really, really far here. So bear with me. But you can see that we historically, when we have these market cycles, Bitcoin dominance goes from around 60, 70% down to 40%, then back up to the 60, 70%, then back down to 40%. And now we're on that climb and we've officially pierced through 61, pushing 62% on dominance. And we've started to see a little bit of pullback and dominance. And that's where a lot of these altcoins have really started to run.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Where if we look at things like Solana breaking out and kind of testing that previous all-time high, or if we look at Stellar Lumens, which has had this crazy run, or XRP, which has continued a crazy run, and HBAR, and I'm on the wrong thing. But if we go to HBAR and we look at this one or Cardano, and the list goes on, right? You know, there's just all these different cryptos that have been going parabolic here. And that's really only with a few percentage pullback in Bitcoin dominance. Again, 3 to 4%. And normally, you know, we can see Bitcoin dominance pull back 20 to 30% in a true given altcoin cycle. And so I think that this is definitely something to keep an eye on, especially for all you altcoin traders and holders. Maybe watch for a crack or a retest of the 200-day moving average, which is a little bit lower, around 56 to 57% in dominance. But the big thing on everyone's mind here is Ethereum, because it started to heat up again. And you know, yesterday when we had Bitcoin moving down, you know, several percent, we actually had Ethereum moving up and doing well. And so Bitcoin was red, Ethereum was green, and Bitcoin dominance was falling and seeing some volatility from that. And one of the cool things here is that Ethereum has kind of really reversed, finally, out of its downtrend, where we saw this thing testing this previous support level as resistance for a while. It was trading sideways and chopping around. And now we've kind of seen a break of this downtrend. Ethereum is skyrocketing back up above the 20, the 50, the 200-day moving averages, and this average volume weighted average price, or the AVWAP from the high, and it's consolidating over all of this. So I don't want to get too technical with it, but it's essentially broken out of the downtrend, turned a lot of previous resistance into newfound support, and it's a good sign. We like to call something like this a break, hook, and go. And so when Ethereum is kind of winding up here, consolidating above some pivotal levels that it conquered and pushing to higher prices, this all looks pretty good to me. And I think that it's certainly possible for Ethereum to make a run here if dominance continues to fall on the Bitcoin side. I think it's possible for Ethereum to not only retest its cycle highs of around 4K, but even maybe push up to its all-time highs around 4.8K and break to new all-time highs of 5K. And I still think that that's on the table because we've barely seen a pullback in Bitcoin dominance so far. And historically, we have alts like Ethereum run a little bit later on. And so we're kind of just seeing the warm-up process here. Again, altcoins have been going bananas for a couple of weeks now. We've been cycling in and out of other things. Sui's another one that's been on the radar. Radium still kind of consolidating by those highs and holding value relatively well. So yeah, I mean, lots of stuff happening on the price end, TiVo. And oh, the one final thing that I wanted to show in regards to Ethereum before I hand it back off to you, TiVo, is I wanted to throw up this study that I came across. And what it was saying is that Ethereum is essentially just gaining momentum. And we're seeing capital shift away from Bitcoin. And we're seeing, just more inflows into Ethereum. And if we scroll down here, I want to read this little part that I was going over last night. But it says capital flows are shifting from Bitcoin to Ethereum with derivatives market activity signaling growing confidence in Ethereum's near-term upside. And it goes on to say, hey, Ethereum is surging. It's kind of outperforming Bitcoin on the day. And we're just seeing this shift in capital flows from Bitcoin to Ethereum. And that kind of just backs up the point that we were just talking about here, saying, hey, what is Bitcoin dominance doing? And, how is Ethereum performing? And that kind of just validates what we've been looking at with seeing that there's a shift in, maybe not only sentiment and technicals, but also in capital flows from the derivatives markets. So again, I really do think Ethereum is something to keep an eye out on here. There is certainly a little bit of maybe game of catch up for Ethereum to play relative to things like Bitcoin and Ethereum and other market leaders. And this is one of the ones that I'm keeping an eye on. Again, not clearly out of the woods yet, kind of coming up to some big levels, but it's looking better than it has in a long time, especially with kind of just this overall downtrend breaking as it's not seeing lower lows anymore. And it's finally starting to see higher lows and higher highs.
Yeah, and I think kind of just to add to that point, we're skipping around on our rundown sheet here, but if I go down to kind of, again, the regulation side of the game that we are all playing here is that Donald Trump actually has a fair-sized bag of ETH. I guess maybe to his overall net worth, you might say it's not that much, but it's definitely not nothing. Donald Trump's holding about, when it's all said and done, 6 million kind of in the ETH sphere. So, obviously we're trying to just more educate everybody and, we're not necessarily making any crazy calls by any means, but things are heating up, altcoins are heating up. And these are the type of things that, whether you like the new administration or you don't, politics kind of tends to be a game where, yeah, maybe we're trying to do things quote unquote for the people, but you're always kind of doing backdoor deals and, people are always making out like bands, it seems like, in the government. Nancy Pelosi is a great example of that, with those, what is she, the best trader of all time? So if the president has a lot of ETH, you might, yeah, literally. So if the president has a lot of ETH, it's something you might want to, just consider watching and educating on. And just overall, obviously, we know crypto, the regulation was headwinds, and now it seems to be a tailwind. And then, just to kind of hand it back to another storyline, I know we touched on it last week, but it just kept going. It felt like a meme stock is kind of what they were referring to. And we're talking about MicroStrategy and Michael Saylor and just that stock was flying, and it finally kind of got, you know, I don't know if nipped in the butt's the right word, but definitely a pullback, and the bears are coming out, and we have some shorts building some positions. So what do you see in there, Brendan?
Yeah, you know, MicroStrategy has been all over the news for the last month or so. It's all been good news, great news, even better news, and the price just kept on soaring. And we were joking about it last week, just saying, hey, MSTU is just printing 20% days every single day. And coincidentally enough, shortly after saying that, we might have jinxed it. But MicroStrategy as a whole saw a pretty drastic pullback. And this was because, and I believe it's pronounced Citron or Citron. Forgive me if Citron, I mispronounced maybe? That. Yeah, maybe Citron.
Citron Research.
I'm not sure, but they've come out and they've announced that they are betting against MicroStrategy and that they are building, or rather have built, a pretty sizable short position against MicroStrategy, thinking that it's just overvalued and this and that. And I don't necessarily think that they were wrong in saying like how much it exploded, right? Because we saw this thing, I'm trying to pull it up on my end, but when we look at MicroStrategy and what they have done this year, if we look back to the start of the year, I think that they were at like $40 and then they moved all the way up to $550, which means that the stock rose over 1,100%, which is crazy, right? It's a crazy run. So were they maybe a little bit overvalued? Yeah, but that's just the way things go, right, with the markets. And the other big flaw that I saw is that whether it was from them or maybe just other analysts saying MicroStrategy is not worth its market cap, because if you look at how much Bitcoin they own, they have, you know, several times larger of a market cap. And I think one of the biggest flaws with that is saying that MicroStrategy's entire net worth is based solely off of their Bitcoin like holdings, nothing else. And that's one of the biggest flaws when looking at a company, is looking at maybe a single asset, a single form of revenue. And of course, as we look at with MicroStrategy, that's just not the case. They have other ways to make money. And what perhaps the funniest part of all of this is Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy immediately, a couple of days later, coming out and saying, hey, cool, our price dump this and that. Well, we're going to go buy another $5.4 billion worth of Bitcoin. So right after the stock pulled back 30% from its all-time high in about a one-day window, and it's still consolidating down there, they went out and they bought another $5.4 billion worth of Bitcoin, which is just kind of a boss move. And yeah, we got it on the screen here. This is another 55,000 Bitcoin. And you know, it looks like MicroStrategy is truly trying to compete with BlackRock, and it's almost like this unsaid war, or this unsaid battle, where they're competing with one another about who's going to own the most Bitcoin at the end of the day. Is it going to be BlackRock and their ETF, or is it going to be MicroStrategy and their more private holdings? We'll see. They're not slowing down. They have just continued to raise so much money to accumulate more Bitcoin. And they truly do believe that Bitcoin is going to go significantly higher than 100K. Otherwise, they wouldn't be buying up here. So to kind of wrap us back to the beginning of the story, where I think it was CNBC brought Michael Saylor on, and they were saying, hey, what do you think about this short position? Does it make sense? What's your defense against it? And he had some really good, like, kind of just defenses and rebuttals to talk about why he thinks that the whole idea of this short against MicroStrategy is actually quite a silly one. So we're going to go ahead and roll the clip, and then we'll come back in after.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people don't understand our core business. We're a Bitcoin treasury company. We're powered by a Bitcoin reactor. We've got $35 billion of Bitcoin, and it's spinning at 100 vol. So the way we make money is we're selling the volatility and recycling it back into Bitcoin. And we're also stripping the volatility and the risk and the performance off of fixed income securities. And we're transferring that to the common stock. So our common stock is delivering 2x Bitcoin, 2x vol. So, Andrew, if you want to understand the economics of this, we generate a spread. The BTC spread we generate, it's a function of the equity premium, the convert premium, and the Bitcoin premium. The Bitcoin premium is the ARR of Bitcoin versus the U.S. dollar. 2 weeks ago, we did $4.6 billion of an ATM. We ran it at a 70% spread. That means we made about a $3 billion BTC gain in 5 days. That would be about $12.50 a share. But over 10 years, that's $36 billion, or about $150 a share, just on that 1 week. This week, we did a convertible bond, $3 billion at an 80% BTC spread. That's a $2.4 billion gain. That's about $10 a share. But over 10 years, that's $125 a share to the shareholders. I think the thesis of the shorts is, if the premium in the equity disappears, we can't make money. What they miss is that when we actually borrow money at 6% and we invest it in Bitcoin, if Bitcoin goes up 30%, and by the way, Bitcoin's going up 60%, we're getting a 90% BTC spread, but right, it would be 80% BTC spread, which means the $3 billion fixed income raise in preferreds or bonds generates the same $125 a share and $30 billion over 10 years. So once you understand that, you have a different view of the company.
Really genius engineering of the financial markets. And obviously, you can agree with it and buy the stock, or you can disagree with it and short the stock. Or I think most people probably in TradFi are just probably not touching it either way, especially, you know, after the lessons learned of GameStop. But I think kind of to your point of how do you value this company, I think it's something that's going to grow in as Bitcoin grows. It's how do you value the multiple, right? And so you said, like, right now it's 3x the Bitcoin on their balance sheet, plus you have their software business, which, you know, does okay. And obviously, when everybody's paid their wages and whatnot, they put the rest of the revenue into Bitcoin. And so it's the multiple. And go look at, you know, NVIDIA or, you know, Amazon and Meta, and like these multiples, you know, are 20 to 30x. And obviously, there's different ways to look at those multiples, and everybody has their own opinions. When, you know, the market's kind of in a bearish sentiment, the multiples contract and go, you know, under 20. And then when it's bullish, you know, especially in the tech space, multiples expand and go to 30 or 40. I think you go look back in the history when the dot-com bubble was rising, you know, those multiples were wildly high. So the Bitcoin adoption cycle seems to be here. And I wonder if, you know, if everything stays kosher, the MSTR balance sheet, that does that, you know, multiple expand for Bitcoin? Probably in a bull market, the answer would be yes. And then in a bear market, it would definitely contract. But it only being kind of 3x definitely seems like if the price starts rocketing again, that multiple could go up. And Brendan, you're on mute. So we'll get you on unmute, and then we'll get you back into the mix.
Yeah, you know, I'm just getting hyped up about it. It's crazy because 3x isn't even that crazy of a multiple, like you said. When you look at a business, like, that's not anything crazy, and that's just off of their Bitcoin holdings. The numbers that he was saying was genius. It just goes to show you his level of understanding about how this business model works. And I do really think that it goes deeper than the average person thinks that it does. They just say, oh, they buy Bitcoin, Bitcoin goes up in value. They do good. They make money. When in reality, there's so much more that goes into that, and the spreads and all of their options that they're selling. And that is crazy because they're talking about how they were making, I think it was like $5 billion in a week on one, and $3 billion or $2 billion a week on another. And they're really, really good at what they do. And they're producing revenue in so many more different ways than just holding Bitcoin. And of course, they still have, you know, some software stuff. And yeah, I mean, hats off to them. Again, were they maybe a little bit overvalued when Bitcoin was running up? Were they due for a pullback is what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, maybe, right? They did over 1,000% this year. So I think that a pullback is very possible. But I still don't think that they're incredibly overvalued where they're at. And so if we just kind of look at MicroStrategy, you know, I could see them recovering, especially as Bitcoin goes up to new all-time highs. I think that it's fully on the table for Bitcoin or for MicroStrategy to recover too. And again, they're one of the largest Bitcoin holders. They're doing a lot of cool things. But the point that I want to make to everyone is that they're not just this buy and hold company, and that's their sole purpose. It's what they do, and it's how they make all their money. There's a lot more nuance that goes into it.
Yeah, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, obviously, if Bitcoin keeps going up, it's hard to say that MicroStrategy is going to go down. But just like we talked about last week, be careful. Obviously, it's a leveraged product, and then they have leveraged ETFs on leveraged MicroStrategy. So, you know, don't get lost in the sauce with leverage, and educate yourself, and be smart out there and stay safe.
Yeah. Well, Tiva, I hope you're ready to party. There is some amazing news that we came across. I think me and you were kind of jumping out of our seats when we when we heard about this, but the time has finally come. Gary Gensler will officially be stepping down. I wish I had a confetti cannon right now to like pop and just make it rain, or a bottle of champagne that I could drink with Gary Gensler's name on it. This guy has bogged down the crypto market, especially the Ethereum side of things, for years now, right? And as of January 20th, he will be stepping down, and we will no longer have the anti-crypto reign of Gary Gensler around us anymore. No more nasty stuff against crypto, and of course, Tivo, against your beloved Robinhood.
Yeah, yes. It was a fun day. I kind of wish that he stayed in office and actually got fired, because I thought that would be funny. And I had this idea that in the White House that they should create Donald Trump's The Apprentice boardroom set, and then they could bring in Gary to plead his case on why he should stay, and then Donald Trump would be able to do the classic, you know, you're fired in the Apprentice boardroom setting. Like, I think that would set the record for most views of any political video in the history of the world. And so I think there's a real missed opportunity in the content sphere, but, you know, we'll move on. I really wonder. I mean, I'm guessing obviously he's going to be able to, you know, find jobs in whatever, you know, industry that, you know, he helped in his time there, whether I guess TradFi somewhere, or maybe he'll go back to being a professor. I don't think it's the last, necessarily. I don't think he'll have the power to make big decisions anymore, clearly, but like, I think he's going to stick around. Like, he's too funny of a character to just let go, you know? So I think, especially in the Twitter sphere, like, he has a huge Twitter following, and I really think it's hard. I've never seen anything like it, quite honestly, where it's like 95% negative, maybe more. Like, it was just all hate.
It's just a rare thing to come across.
It was all hate, and I don't know. Who knows, dude? Maybe there's like a arc, like a crypto arc. Maybe he's gonna go work for a crypto company now. Who knows? But I definitely, as a character, I miss seeing him go, because he was just so easy to meme. He was so easy to just make. I don't know, make fun of is the right word, but just kind of go against. And so you know, it'll be interesting, obviously, to see who gets the SEC chair. And we'll move forward with more positive crypto regulation, which again is the tailwinds right now for the whole entire industry. But I'll be the first to say it. I'm gonna miss Gary in a different sense, not the policies, but just the person.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, Gary, we wanted you on our side. We wanted you on our team. You had 4 years to join, and unfortunately, if you don't get with the plan, it will catch up with you. And the crypto markets are going to continue to thrive. And so, you know, I think Twitter and everyone tried their best to, I was going to say lovingly, sometimes not so lovingly, sometimes maybe bully him into becoming a crypto advocate. But, you know, you can only do so much at the end of the day. So, Gary, we wish you the best here, but the crypto markets are ready to rock it without you now.
Yeah, and before we hit our last subject of the day, our topic, we have some commenters on the YouTube. Josh Butt says good morning. Good morning, Josh. And our guy Gravy Train E30 has a sad tale that he had a $4,000 position and a wild ride all the way up to 34K, and now back down to 17K. So he's maybe thinking that he should have took some profits, but hey, still up, right? So, you know,
yeah,
good trade so far. But yeah, just appreciate everybody getting active in the chat. So shout out to you guys.
It's funny. I had someone from the community reach out yesterday, and they said, dude, like, this has been awesome. I made 35% portfolio growth in a single, I think it was in a single week or a single month or something like that, which was crazy. I think it was a week. They reached out and they said, I grew my portfolio 35% this month, which is, this week, and which is a crazy statistic. I mean, if you look at the average indice return, it comes out to something closer to 10%. So they essentially did the average indice return three times over in a single week, which is wild. And only in the crypto markets is that possible.
Yeah. Or if you got NVIDIA 10 years ago.
If you got in at something like that. That's true.
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely that time. But I think as much as it's the 1 week shifts and the again, the euphoric feeling of making that type of money quickly, like, you have to do the work, right? You have to put in the work before, and it's the weeks and the months of, you know, studying and reading newsletters and being in the community and talking to people and, hell, listening to shows like this. You know, we've been, I think, spot on the money really since that range in March that we were, you know, taking that as a time to build positions and look forward. And, you know, the Trump trade definitely helped, you know, propel us forward by a multiple faster than probably if Kamala won. But, you know, this industry continues to build and surprise. So, you know, as much as somebody might come to you, if you, and I think this works well into our final topic of the day, but if people come to you and start telling you about, oh man, I made so much money in a day, in a week, and yeah, maybe they got lucky, but, you know, the people that probably wouldn't brag to you anyway are putting in the work, and it takes, you know, more than just a week to get, you know, those type of gains, because it takes a lot of time and effort to study this stuff. And so that brings us to our last topic of the day, which is how to talk to your friends and family about crypto at the Thanksgiving dinner table. Whether it's Thanksgiving Day or the whole weekend, obviously people are traveling around. We appreciate you listening to our podcast while you're doing your travels and your weekly activities this holiday weekend. But it's an interesting one, because 2 years ago, I remember I just started and I had a family Thanksgiving and people were asking about my new job, and I was telling them about, you know, how it's in the crypto industry. And then FTX happens a couple weeks before and I got to show up to the dinner table at Thanksgiving. And basically people thought, my own mother thought my job was over. She was seeing it all over the TV. And, you know, last year was a good, you know, comeback, but people weren't really interested at all still. But this year, I mean, I think you could confidently say that crypto and Bitcoin will be a topic. It's politics, and maybe number one, and then number two will probably be Bitcoin. So how are you approaching this holiday weekend, Brendan? Me and you are in the space, so it is kind of feels like a victory lap in a way. But I think it's an interesting time, and see if the retail market, I don't know if FOMO's in or kind of gets some momentum. You know, how are you approaching maybe some friends and family who are going to be asking you about crypto this holiday weekend?
Yeah, I'm a big advocate of people shouldn't invest in what they don't understand. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of what altcoin should I invest in next? What meme coin should I look at? And I think unless you really have the time and the understanding of those sectors, they might not be the best for you. And that's probably not the answer that a lot of people want to hear. They want to get their altcoin bags pumped. But if you don't truly understand it, and if you haven't really researched it, I just don't think it's worth it, because there's too many altcoin projects that go to zero. And a lot of the times people get shilled the wrong altcoins. They get shilled the wrong bags, and it can burn them. So I think that, you know, where we're at right now, we're kind of at a pivotal level of crypto where I think Bitcoin can continue to succeed. I think that you really can't go wrong with Bitcoin. And so for anyone that wants to get started, I would push them that way. Let them kind of learn and research and get used to the volatility. And, you know, maybe look at altcoins afterwards. But I think that a lot of the value really comes at the time where we're not in a parabolic market cycle and where we do get the dips. And so I think the narrative that I would give them is, number one, don't invest in what you don't understand. I think that if you don't understand anything about crypto, look at Bitcoin. You know, maybe look at some of the large caps. I think that you can kind of dive into things like Ethereum and Solana afterwards if you want a bit of diversity. But beyond that, kind of just watch out for the dips. Because again, we get about a dozen double-digit pullbacks on Bitcoin every single market cycle, every single uptrend. And it's inside those dips where you'll get some of the best buying opportunities. And also, you're going to get the best risk versus reward ratios. You're not buying at the all-time high. You're not buying at resistance. You're having a lower risk by buying at a lower price. And by the uptrend still being there, you're still staying in kind of that mentality of the trend being your friend. You're just taking on less risk because you're not buying at the all-time high or at some sort of major resistance level. So what I would say is don't chase too much. Keep it simple. Look for the dips. And again, you know, MicroStrategy has had this crazy growth this year by having a very simple buy the dip mentality on Bitcoin and dollar cost average in with the idea that it'll go higher. And I think that a lot of other investors can be equally as profitable, kind of having that same mindset. It doesn't have to be overcomplicated. It doesn't have to be levered up to the max. It doesn't have to be this brand new microcap that just came out. And, you know, in reality, if you would have just held Bitcoin from a couple of years ago when it was $1,000, you know, I think it was like 2017, when it was around $1,000, you could have held it to this week for $100,000 and you would have made a crazy gain. And even in the past like couple of years where Bitcoin went from 15K at the end of 2022, beginning of 2023, and then it went from 15K to 100K. Again, no crazy altcoin hold, but you still could have made some really good gains just with Bitcoin and some of the larger caps alone. So that's what I would say. Keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Look at some of the large caps. And if you really get some conviction after you got a little bit of experience into the space, dive into altcoins. But I think if you're doing your own research, there's a lot of places that will kind of mislead you and they'll show their own bags. But of course, we got a really great community over here at Crypt Nation where we love to talk about the whole crypto market and kind of give our sights a little bit deeper into the world of altcoins. So if you want to get plugged into a really great crypto community where there's thousands of like-minded individuals, head over to Crypt Nation. It's a great place to get plugged in. I think we might have some links in the description down below. But yeah, that's my thoughts, Tivo.
Yeah, and I think y'all, if they ask you if you're the crypto czar, if you will, at the table this year, always start out with, this is never personal financial advice. That way you are free and clear of any liability, just like this show. We're just talking crypto here. And if the conversation does come up, we would really appreciate it if you checked out our links, obviously, or even just start out with this show. Give them a link to our podcast. Tell them to check out this episode and maybe send them a couple of your favorites of the different companies that we've interviewed. And, you know, I know the Matt Hogan episode is going to be dropping next week, a week from today. We just had Maple drop this week. And we have the the Hedge Fund Summit coming up in 2 weeks' time. So, yeah, there's so much stuff to get in and educate. It's the perfect time. It's just been a fun ride and the exciting times. I think last week I said it didn't feel euphoric. I'm kind of changing my tune a little bit because my own mother asked how she can buy some Bitcoin. And I was like, oh man, mom, like my mom just got like an iPhone 2 years ago. So she is the least technological person I know. And she did ask this weekend what might be the best way where she could buy some Bitcoin. And that is, so I'll change my tune. It does feel a little euphoric right now. Here we are on our pull back to 92. We'll see where we go, but the trend is your friend. And, I know we believe that higher we go. So, never personal financial advice, but I think we're in for a fun end of the year and a fun 2025.
I would agree, man. I would agree. I've started to have family, friends, and other people reach out to me. And that's kind of alerted my radar a little bit because we know that when that typically happens, it could be a sign of maybe a short-term top. Of course, we got a little bit of a pullback here, but we're going to keep everyone posted. We're very bullish and optimistic.
Let's give the people one more thing going into the week here. Let's pull this. We haven't done this in a while. A little fear greed index.
Ooh, we're getting some extreme greed. And it's pulling back from where it was. Last week it was at a 90, and now we're back to a 79. So definitely retracing a little bit.
Yeah, we'll shake some people out. Shake the newbies out.
Yep. Shake the soft hands out. The diamond hands will stay. And a little Wall Street Bets reference for everyone. But hey, we appreciate everyone coming in. If you like the content that we make over here, all that we ask is that you consider hitting the like and subscribe button. Leave us a review if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or something like that. And check out our other resources. Of course, we mentioned Crypt Nation. It's a great place to get plugged into a crypto community. But of course, check us out on YouTube, where we have a lot of other great free content where you can look at podcasts and tutorials and interviews and market updates and so much more. So thank you all for watching. And until next time, we're going to see all of you at the same time, same place next week.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.